So what do you do specifically when you have a patient who receives bevacizumab as first-line therapy, let's say carboplatin, for example, that situation? How do you carry that forward?
So I use the bevacizumab as maintenance. That's the way that particular study, of course, was designed, and it's, you know, a non-chemotherapy maintenance portion. But I continue the bevacizumab until evidence of progression, at which point, you know, I stop that and then move on to second-line therapy.
As long as I'm asking that, what about the patient who's had a prolonged response to that therapy? Any situations where you'll consider continuing the bevacizumab and changing the chemo?
That is one of those great questions that we don't have an answer for. And I think it's, again, reasonable to think about doing it. I have tended to not do that. I've tended to stop the bevacizumab and move on, you know, entirely to something different. But I certainly can understand the theory behind that. The thought is that the resistant cells are the tumor and not the vasculature, and that you may continue to get some benefit out of the bevacizumab, and certainly would love to see a study to help prove that or not.
I guess the other thing I've heard people talk about in different tumors is the question of whether there's so-called VEGF rebound that, you know, when you stop the bevacizumab.
Right.
What do you think about that?
I mean, again, it's a thought. I think people have talked about that with EGFR TK inhibitors, that seems that, you know, in those that respond, who responded well, when you stop it, the tumor seems to accelerate. I don't know. I think we as physicians, when we base data on our own experience, we sometimes are somewhat selective as to what we remember. And I think we just have to be a little cautious.